Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, we'd like to thank you for tuning in to the World Boxing Review Radio Show. My name is Aaron Snow. They call me the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champions. Hey, look, Bob, as we go around the world, we got the man taking us on the magic carpet, Rob, Bob Murray. How you doing, Bob?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Hello, everybody. Yes, here we go. Another day, another show. Here we go. Sounding good.
Yeah. So what do we got going on around the world, Bob?
Yeah, we'll talk about some of the new other news, but let's go around the world quick right now. We'll start out today in Los Angeles, California, USA, where ESPN Plus will stream Emmanuel Navarrete. He's 27-1, 23-0 by KO. He's defending his WBO World Super Bantamweight title against the unbeaten challenger Francisco de Vaca, who's 20-0 with 6 knockouts. Also featured is the welterweight showdown between Chris Vanderden, 27-2-1, 12 KOs, and Islambek Kazayev, 33-2-1, as well as the featherweight clash between the 26-1 with 18 knockouts, Jesse Magdaleno and Rafael Rivera, 27-3-2, 18 of those wins by knockout. Super lightweights Fidel Maldonado Jr., 26-4-1, and Juan Santiago, 16-16-2, meet up in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And in Nashville, Tennessee, it's Tyler Tomlin versus Kevin Mario Cooper in the super lightweight headliner. Former MMA fighter and heavyweight now, Jared Torgerson, is showcased in Worley, Idaho, and in Springfield, Massachusetts, it's the 18-year-old Charles Foster versus Dennis Grachev, 19-7-1, and that's for the NABA light heavyweight crown. Super lightweight Miguel Angel Parra, 17-1-1, 12 KOs, steps in with Emmanuel Herrera in the main event in Mazatlan, Mexico, while in Campeche, it's Leonardo Mosqueda versus Jose Hernandez in the super lightweight finale. In Mexicali, Gustavo Molina and Luis Alberto Medina fight for the open WBF International featherweight belt. Fresnillo and Zacatecas, they'll highlight former WBC world champion Johnny Gonzalez. Overall record now 67-11, 55 knockouts, taking on Ramiro Blanco, 18-5-3 in the lightweight finale there. The Federal District in Buenos Aires, Argentina, will host the Juan Jose Jurado, 15-1-3, versus Junior Leonardo Zarate, 10-2. It's a battle for the Argentina FAB flyweight title. And also on the Thai C Sports TV telecast, we'll see the super lightweight matchup of Christian Nicolas Andino. He's undefeated at 10-0 versus Marcelo Ezequiel Mesa, 11-4-1. Claypool will see lightweight Cesar Alejandro Perez and Juan Emmanuel De La Iglesia go at it. And also in Buenos Aires, unbeaten super welterweight 7-0 Geronimo Nahuel Daco crosses the ropes with Damian Segovia. In Cafayete, super welter Jose Leonardo Santos and Diego Alfredo Cruz squaring off. Over now to Europe, to Ludwigshafen in Germany, where Vincent Fagenbuchs, 30 wins, 2 losses, 27 of those by KO. And Cesar Nunez, 16-0-1, fight for the DBU World and vacant IBO International super middleweight crown. That card also highlights unbeaten Ahmad Ali, 14-0-1, and 19-6-1 Armand Tarossian battling for the DBU World Super Welterweight title. Glasgow, Scotland in the UK will host the Uka Shir Farouk, 13-0, versus Dwayne Winters, 11-1, fight for the Triple BFC British Bantamweight crown. Heavyweight Radek Vralek tops the card in Ústí nad Labem in Czech Republic. Local super lightweight Benjamin Labti, 10-3-1. He dukes it out with Samuel Opakugan in the finale in Accra, Ghana. Lots of action in the Pacific and Far East region with the 7-0 cruiserweight Ben Sheila going at it with Subit Orangi in the Punch Bowl in New South Wales, Australia. They'll also feature the Luke Bunder versus Jackson Donnelly battle for the vacant Australian New South Wales State super middleweight belt. Shenzhen, China has a big card topped with Jing Ziong, 16-4-2, and Yomar King Dog, 10-1-1, fighting for the open WBO International minimum weight crown. Also, Xiao Tao Su, 10-1, and Shoto Yukawa vying for the open WBO Oriental super featherweight belt. And it's the 4-0 Zhang Lai versus Dojin Li for the interim WBC Asian Boxing Council silver and the vacant WBO China National super featherweight titles. Steve Ongen Fernandez, 29-17-1, and Theriot Yuhango, 21-10, both seek the open WBC ABC Continental super welterweight strap. and in Singapore. And in Leyte, Philippines, flyweight Esmond Domingo, 11-1 in Belmore Plaza, slug it out at the top of the card. In Bang Phuong, Thailand, Apichet Pachmani, 4-0, and former WBO world champion Surya Tatakun, 61-4, 41 KOs, fights for the vacant WBC, ABC lightweight title. And we go on a trip around the world today, 12 countries covering the globe and all the continents except our Antarctica, which one of these days we'll hope to have a fight in Antarctica. But there we go, around the world. Still some action going on out there, even though we're in the dog days of August. But there's still some good fights happening tonight, especially on ESPN there with that big fight out in L.A. to kick things off.
Well, you're speaking about L.A. They were saying about in the L.A. Times, a writer was writing about boxing to be doing so well because they had a press conference or something and nobody showed up or something, he wrote in the article. But he went on to talk about the great fight with Anthony Joshua and John Luis over there in Saudi Arabia. But before we get into that, we like to say that boxing is not dead. You know, boxing is surely alive. And we like, before we get into everything, we like to bring our boxing historian, Henry Hascop. Welcome to the World Boxing Review Radio Show, Henry. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. How about you guys?
Hey,
good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Look, boxing's not dead. It's alive with boxing, with $1 billion pumped into the game by DAZN, the streaming company, with streaming the Alvarez fights and Triple G and those guys, and they're doing shows all the time. And ESPN's Bob Arum, the deal that he cut with ESPN, to do it on ESPN Plus and regular ESPN on a weekly basis. And also Al Heyman Fox shows that are shown on Saturday and Showtime. You know, that it don't look like it's dead. It looks like we got a lot on TV, Bob. I don't know what they're looking at. But, you know, when it comes to big-time boxing, the talk is about over there in Saudi Arabia, with them going to Saudi Arabia to put Eddie Hearns to put on this great heavyweight championship bout. But before we like to get into it, you know, some people want to call it Saudi Arabia, it's Africa, some Western Asia, whatever it is, we're going to go over to the closest continent, which is Africa, the heavyweight champions. Henry, can you fill us in from a historical note? Some great heavyweight championship fighters and fights in Africa.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess the one that most people will know right off the bat is when Muhammad Ali and George Foreman, you know, in Kingston, Zaire, you know, it was in Zaire. And, you know, that was, a gigantic fight. In fact, Ali was, really a big underdog. People were just praying that he didn't get hurt. But when they went over there, I mean, Ali was greeted like he was a god. I mean, they loved the guy. You know, no matter where he went, they went, you know, big crowds went over with him. And George Foreman, you know, he was like the villain at the time. And he even had a big German shepherd. And everybody stayed away from him because, you know, he was like the mean big bad mean guy. And but the fight itself, I mean, you know, I think Foreman, I should say Ali, got into Foreman's head, and you know, Foreman just you know, tried to destroy Ali, and Ali said, you know, kept on saying, "Is that all you got, George? Is that all you got?" And of course Foreman, you know, got mad, and he kept on hitting him as hard as he can. And you know, Archie Moore, he was in Foreman's corner at the time, and he said, you know, take it easy, you know, you're going to wear yourself out, you know, I'm going to kill this guy, I'm going to kill this guy. Well, you know, Moore was right. I mean, as you know, Foreman just wore himself out by hitting Ali as hard as he can, and his punches became slower and slower and slower, and of course Ali took over, and then in the eighth round, I mean, you know, Foreman was just thoroughly exhausted. And Ali caught Foreman with a couple of good shots. And, you know, of course, Foreman went down. And Zach Clayton, the referee, he counted them out. And, you know, that was probably one of the biggest wins in Ali's career. And, you know, it was, you know, that was the first time two African-Americans actually fought each other in the country, you know, in any place in Africa. Actually, the first title bout in Africa happened in 1937, but that was a featherweight championship bout. But that was, you know, way before. But then 5 years later, after the Foreman Ali fight, then we had, let's see, I think it was John Tate against Kosia. And that went the whole 15 rounds. And they had, you know, say how much of a crowd they had. They had 81,000 people to see John Tate and Jerry Casillo fight. And, you know, John Tate won a 15-round decision. Then a few years later, Casillo was back again, and he fought Mike Weaver. And Mike Weaver, you know, stopped him in the 13th round. And then a few years later, Kosia was back again, and he fought a guy by the name of Greg Page, as you know. You know, he was, you know, built as the next Muhammad Ali and everything like this. And I believe it was the 8th round, you know, Page knocked Kosia out. So Kosia didn't have a, you know, a good thing about Africa because, you know, he lost his three title fights against against their opponents. But the thing was that in the 8th round, the timekeeper messed up. You know, instead of 3 minutes, it was, you know, counting the count, it was like 4 minutes. And they tried to put a protest in there saying, throw the bout out. But, you know, the Federation said no. You know, Page was still the champion. So, but that was that. Then the next fight, of course, was the great Lennox Lewis against Rahman, and that was their first fight. And you know, that was another great fight in South Africa. It was in 2001, and this is the one time that Lewis got caught. Actually, the second loss of his career. The first one, you know, happened several years before that, but he hadn't lost in about 6 years. And when he got caught by Rahman, he went down. And he was like just about out cold. You know, he tried to get up and everything like this, but you know, it was you know, it wasn't too good for him. I think he was like a 20-1 favorite to win Lewis, but that was also in Africa. And that's you know, that's the 4 or 5 bouts that that happened in Africa. Of course, there was African champions. You know, we had several champions from Africa in the heavyweight division, counting Balta, Corey Sanders, of course, Kosia. I think there was a couple of other ones that would
Peterson.
I think Samuel Peter. Well, Henry Akawana wasn't really a champion. Herbie Hyde, he was born in Nigeria. And, you know, right. It's like 5, you know, but all together is about 60 world champions that came from Africa itself, you know, South Africa, you know, Nigeria and stuff like this. But I believe there's close to 60 world champions that came from that continent of Africa. So, you know, they have, you know, they don't have too many fights out there. So, you know, hopefully this Joshua and Ruiz, you know, will live up to its billing. Because, you know, Ruiz has very fast hands.
Yeah, he does. And plus, he's a great counterpuncher. Where this fight's taken at in Saudi Arabia, you know, this is where the Saudi Arabian kingdom, mostly the family is from. So
yeah.
It's the city of palaces. And this city of palaces, the whole city is mostly made of clay buildings, but they're big palaces of wealth. And you're talking about history. They have historical museums that go way, way, way back, and that are second to none. So the Saudi Arabian kingdom, that's their home city where they come from. So for Saudi Arabia to be hosting this and with the king family of Saudi Arabia, you know, putting skin in the game in boxing, man, oh, man, the things that we're talking about doing, Henry, with him getting involved in the limited all money that he has, boy, could he make a difference in the sport. They're talking, human rights issues and this and that came out. I don't think that there's too many human rights issues because during the Hajj in Mecca in Saudi Arabia, millions and millions of people make Hajj there every year, make a pyramid to the holy city. In Riyadh, the second largest city, it used to be the capital. I mean, people go there all the time. Now, there's a lot of culture that's in that region, and sometimes culture changes for people's hard to take. But just because it's cultural changes, you know, some people can't adapt to certain cultures. And they're talking about building a stadium for this here event. And, boy, just to build a stadium, that's what they did for the Ollie Foreman fight. And for him to build a stadium, how you feel about that? I think that's some kind of skin in the game.
Well, it reminds me of the, when Jim Jeffries fought, and also when Dempsey fought Carpentier. They built venues just for that fight. You know, Boyle's 30 Acres in Jersey City and Reno, Nevada. When, I think it was Johnson against Jeffries, you know, they built these stadiums just for that fight. So, I mean, that's how big this fight is out there. So, I mean, they never had anything like this before. So it's going to really be a mega, mega event, not only for them, but the whole world, you know, just to, you know, they're going to bring that city and that culture, like you just described very, very eloquently, you know, to the forefront. You know, a lot of people don't know. I didn't know about the stuff that you were just saying, you know, about Saudi Arabia. And that's, so I think this is going to be really great, a great thing that's going to happen for boxing. And Eddie Hearn, I guess, is the guy behind it, you know, one of the guys behind it anyway. So, I hope it comes out good and hope the fight is good, you know, as good as even the last one, you know. I mean, sometimes, return matches aren't as good, but, we'll see. Only time will tell.
Yeah, well, time will tell. Well, they did that championship match where Luis won in the Mecca boxing is Madison Square Garden, second to none. But Eddie Hearns and them, they took it a little bit further. They took it to the real Mecca of the world, and that's Saudi Arabia. They could,
I wonder how big that stadium is going to be. I wonder how big the stadium is going to be.
I don't know. They're just saying it's going to be an open-air stadium or whatever. Whatever it is, them guys, when they put their money into something, they really do it lavishly, the game extremely. I mean, really good job.
When they did it for Boyle's 30 Acres.
And golf tournaments and stuff over there, race car driving, horse racing and things like that, cricket, big games of cricket, things like that. But when, like we all the time say, Henry, but when you bring the heavyweight championship of the world somewhere, it is the biggest prize in sports to be heavyweight champion of the world. And other people know that. And that's why other people have been fighting at the bit to try to get these huge mega events. And hats off to Anthony Joshua and Luis for dare to try to step out of their comfort zone, to bring new money in the game. And you know, Hearn, man, he's just – he keeps doing things on the cutting edge for being a young promoter. And he keeps putting himself out there and on the line and taking calculated risks. And I think all of that's good for the game. I just think it just brings more skin in the game. You know, Amir Khan, maybe a month ago, is that right, Bob? A month?
Right, Amir Khan, yeah. Not too long ago. Well, maybe a month, yeah, 6 weeks. But, you know, I just want to say one thing, too. You know, Ruiz came out this week, and he's not too keen on this, though, now. You know, he's saying he's only getting $8 million for the rematch, and he doesn't like that. He says he didn't have much of a say as far as his going to Saudi Arabia. So, you know, they did have the press conference, and neither one of them showed up, Ruiz or Joshua. So, you know, Ruiz really hasn't put his name down yet on this. So he's dialing back and forth with Eddie Hearn and Matchroom Boxing and all that. So, you know, I mean, I believe it's going to get done, but right now he's not happy with only getting $8 million for the rematch because they're talking about a $90 million purse, which would be like $82 million for Joshua. He's only getting $8 million. So, we'll
no,
see
no,
how
no,
that
no.
Plays out, you know, how that works.
Bob, it ain't $8 million.
It's still $8 million.
No.
I don't know, he's a big noise. You know, he's a champion. He's a champion, and he's trying to get himself, yeah. He's trying to put himself on the top instead of Joshua. That's probably what's going on there.
I'm a little confused, Bob, handling the week. It ain't $8.3 million, meaning American currency. They're paying him £8.3 million, which is a whole altogether different figure. It's more money. And to look into this is that this is something Luis had locked in to get the title fight. To get so he already locked himself in to get the fight on number one if he won, the rematch and all of this stuff. So he's locked in there pretty good unless he do one of the things like Buster Douglas did. But the people who had him, Buster Douglas went to Steve winning the Mirage after beat Mike Tyson. A huge upset like that, and the money that he was guaranteed by Don King, he felt it wasn't enough. Him and John Johnson, they went running talking to Steve Wynn and this and that. So there was a bunch of lawsuits that went winging around, but Don King whooped him in court. He got over $10 million and didn't have to do nothing. They had to give that to him. But for Buster Douglas, he ended up getting like $24 million to fight Holyfield, and he ended up losing the heavyweight championship of the world, and Evander Holyfield became undisputed heavyweight champion when he knocked him out. So, man, there's a lot lying on the table with this fight. So, you know, what do you think about this, Henry? You know, from a historical point of view.
You know, money talks. You know, I'm sure they're gonna agree to something. I mean, if the difference is like Bob was saying, you know, one guy's gonna get $80 million, the other guy's gonna get like $8 million or something like this. I mean, that's a big difference. You know, it should be a little closer. I mean, you know, he after all, he is the champion. I mean, even when you know, a lot of champions lost their title in a return match. It was, a lot of times it was 50-50. You know, I think when Patterson and Sonny Liston fought the second time, I think they both got around the same amount of money. You know, so, you know, it should be close. You know, and, you know, no matter how much they're going to get, they get $10 million or $80 million a piece, you know. But, you know, hopefully it comes off because, you know, boxing needs stuff like this, you know, and Wilder, you know, and, you know, waiting in the wings and Fury waiting there. I mean, you know, hopefully they could all get together by the end of next year and have one, you know, heavyweight champion of the world again. That would be, you know, something different, you know, hasn't happened in a while, I guess, since Lennox Lewis, you know. But, you know, we need that in boxing. We need to unify these titles and you know, for the betterment of the sport. And we have to get this thing done no matter what.
Yeah, and we're looking, and, you know, we talk about the zone, you know. Alvarez, you know, he missed that date for that big holiday in September to fight, but it looks like they may have found somebody. Billy Sanders, who we had talked about a lot on the show, he's now signed with the DAZN. Is that right, Bob?
Yeah, he signed on, and they're talking Canelo, but he might actually fight Callum Smith first, too. So they're kind of figuring out what they're doing. But, yeah, Billy Joe Saunders is definitely with his own now. And also, I just want to mention, we do have a date now for Alexander Usyk coming back. It's going to be the 12th of October. Still doesn't have an opponent yet, but that's going to be on the zone coming out of Chicago. So we'll see what happens there. Plus, Derevyanchenko and Triple G scheduled now for October 5th at Madison Square Garden. So, you know, boxing's not dead again. You know, here's Eddie Hearn putting together like three big matches, you know, between Saunders and Usyk and Triple G. And all these guys, you know, he's keeping it moving, no doubt.
And they say boxing's dead,
right? Yeah, I don't think I think the headlines help try to kill it, but I think boxing is surely alive. And hats off to Bob Arum and Al Haymon and them for cutting them. Al Haymon cut a deal with Fox for what to do like 10 shows a year, $60 million deal. Bob Arum did a seven-year deal to bring at least 54 fights on ESPN in ESPN Plus. So man, these are just shows in America. We ain't talking about all the shows that they're doing over in England and down in South America, Mexico, and down under in Australia. And man, boxing's back. And Bob, let's talk about them females. Boxing's not dead. You know, Carissa Shields and these females, they're taking it to Michigan, it looks like. They're going to be fighting up there pretty soon, right?
Right, yes, she has Ivana Hobbiton. That's going to be for the WBO Super Welterweight title. Yeah, Carissa Shields, yeah, was injured. It was supposed to actually be today. That fight was originally scheduled, and then now that it's postponed, I believe it's going to be October 5th also, or the 12th, one of those weekends. I don't have it in front of me, but, yeah, that's scheduled again now. So, yeah. And Katie Taylor also has a big fight now, too, she just signed on for. And Brakus is coming back, too. And Taylor and Brakus are trying to find a catch weight to go at it. And Taylor, of course, with the zone also. So, Eddie Hearn's also following the female fighters, too, and giving them their shot.
Well, that's great. Look, again, you know, Showtime's picking up. And we ain't mentioned all the shows that Showtime, with Wilder being a big, you know, with the WBC title with Showtime. Showtime's got skin in the game big time. Man, look, we almost forgot about Showtime here. And Showtime have been putting fights on for years with the new players on the block. And we can't forget about the great performance not too long ago with Manny Pacquiao. Manny Pacquiao from a fountain of youth. He done sparked conversation down in there. And him, it looks like him and Mayweather and them are getting ready to go at it again. You know,
before we sign off, I think there's one thing that is lacking, though, is the local shows. There's no, like, local fights around, you know. You know, all the big networks, like I said, Showtime and The Zone and ESPN, and, you know, they even got it on YouTube and all this kind of stuff. They're huge, but the local shows, you know, years ago when there was a show, let's say, in Totowa at the Ice World, you know, in New York, there was shows, you know, at little arenas like Sunnyside Garden and stuff like this. Today, you don't have that, you know.
It's always
the big ones.
We got 43 seconds before we close. You know, you're right. Those club-style shows is definitely needed in the game. That's where a lot of fighters hone their skills at to go to the TV level, and you need those.
Yeah, well, that's like the local, you know, the minor leagues. You know, that's where they become named fighters. You know, they got to start off somewhere. And without these small shows, you know, where do they go? if they're not, let's say, an Olympic star or an amateur, big amateur and national champion, they're not going to get their shot.
Yeah, we got 10 seconds, Bob. You want to close?
Yeah, well, just we apologize for only having a 30-minute show. Something happened when we were signing on. We only got a lot of 30 minutes today. So, unfortunately, we have to cut things short. But, we still have a lot of the fights going on. We look at today, we have Albuquerque, New Mexico, Nashville, Tennessee, and we have Idaho and other places around, and Philadelphia is good. So, there's not a lot as maybe as before, but there's still some good fights going on in the outer regions, too. So some of these guys actually, you see today, even too, in Mexico, Gonzalez is fighting, and he's an old former champion, and he's still going to pack a house there somewhere in Zacatecas, Mexico. So, we'll talk more about this next week. Again, unfortunately, we have to cut things short today.
Yeah, well, we'd like to thank you for tuning in to the World Boxing Review Radio Show. My name is Aaron Snowell. They call me the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champions. And our radio aficionado took us on another magic carpet ride, Bob Murray, and our great boxing historian, Henry Hascott. Great job, you two. As always, a job well done. Tune in next Saturday, the World Boxing Review Radio Show.
Okay, bye.
Bye.